My friends, I greet you this evening in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. It won't be long now until a new year begins. 2020. You know what that means, don't you? Another census, of course. Just like in Mary and Joseph's time, we will all be counted once again. At least I don't have to return to Chicago. Maybe you don't have to go to Minneapolis or Pittsburgh or wherever else you hail from. We can sit conveniently in our living rooms and fill out the paperwork. If there is paperwork, that is. I don't even know if they're going to send you a form or do it all online this time. There is, of course, a reason for taking a census. And it's not just a quaint and constitutional way to check out population trends. Like in Mary and Joseph's time, the government wants to know who you are and where you are. And to be sure that you pay your taxes and follow the laws. In many countries, it's a way to raise up an army on short notice if you need one. The Roman Empire occupied Judea, and there was nothing quaint about it. They kept their thumbs on the peasants. There was no voting, no democracy. You did what the emperor, otherwise known as the highly exalted one, that's what emperor means, told you to do. And if he said to go to your hometown to be counted, that's what you did. Mary and Joseph obeyed the authority of the empire. They didn't really have a choice. Perhaps that's not the way you always imagine the story, but there was a census by Quirinius, the governor of Syria, who was a few years off from the one from what we can get from the biblical narrative. But part of St. Luke's purpose in telling the story is to say that Jesus was born in real time to a real family who were not royalty but were everyday people. People who experienced the joys and the struggles of life just like you and me. One of my most vivid Christmas memories is when I was a child, and I remember very bright lights at Christmas. And the reason I remember that is my father had one of those old, I don't know if it was 8mm or 16mm movie cameras. And when he went to take pictures or movies of us opening presents, he had to light up this whole raft of spotlights and put it on you. So we really felt like we were on stage just about. It was really startling to have all those lights shining brightly in your face. And it makes me think that maybe that's the way the shepherds felt that night. When the angels came and the lights were so bright, they didn't know what to do. They were used to being outside. They were just minding their own business out there. And then there was this incredibly bright light. First, just one angel. And then a whole army of them. That's what the host of heavenly hosts means, an army of angels. And they were terrified. I mean, who could blame them? They were used to being in the dark, being alone for the most part, with just the sheep. And notice that they had not gotten the memo to go to their hometowns. The shepherds were nomads, transients, just like people who move around a lot today and who will not be counted. Yet, the good news of great joy for all people is told to them, the ones whose society doesn't count. They were considered the lowest of the low, dirty, stinky men who lived outdoors with the sheep. Yet, it is they who are given the good news by the angels. A Savior is born for you today. Well, what the heck kind of news could this be, they must have thought. And why us? We don't even go to the temple to worship. They probably wouldn't let us in if we tried to. Let's go find out what this is all about. And they did. They went quickly, these people with no names, who didn't really count. They told Mary and Joseph about the bright lights and the angels and the word that had been spoken to them about a newborn Savior wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And Mary and Joseph were amazed. Well, it occurs to me that in many ways, our civilization in the year 2020 is not all that different than the world of the Nativity story. People are still being devalued, only in a new and postmodern way. Every week, I hear someone who tells me about how they feel like they're just a number, how their jobs are eliminated by employers without a care about how it will affect their lives and their families. Old or young, it doesn't really matter. The young have college degrees and find themselves expected to take a job no better than the one they had in high school. Unskilled, part-time, with no health benefits. And if you do get hired in full-time, 90 days later, they find an excuse to let you go because there's a whole line behind you of people waiting to take your job. Housing prices for them have skyrocketed to the point where a young person is not able to afford a place of their own. It feels like there's no room in the inn sometimes. And many young couples are forgoing a family because with student loans, they just can't afford it. At the same time, I hear from people near retirement who are given the message that they are obsolete or even worthless. They cost too much. It is, after all, about the highly exalted bottom line. Families with legitimate hopes and dreams of a better life reach our borders only to be placed in inhumane detention centers. And new policies now keep them outside our borders, where theft and rape and the lack of food enforce the will of our very own government. Things are not so different than it was back then. There are times when we all feel unseen, uncounted, or unwanted, especially by the systems we encounter each day that discount our humanity. The good news is that it is into this world that God sends his own Son. God becomes human because every human being matters. God honors our humanity. Through this child, God commits God's self to our unique history, our unique stories and lives. And he assures us that we are not forgotten. Well, we may want bright lights and heavenly choruses, Christ slips into our world in the back door, unnoticed, with just a few ordinary people surrounding him. And isn't that the way that God always comes to us? Quietly, through something ordinary? Perhaps it will be a song that touches your heart this evening, one you've sung forever, but this time it brings the good news of God's love to you in a new way. Or maybe it's the glow of a child's face or the familiar touch of your spouse that will remind you that, yes, God is truly here. It could be a message from an old friend's Christmas card that sneaks in to grant you a moment of heavenly peace. Until Christ comes again, we only get glimpses of this Savior who is born to us today. And we will only see the fullness of his kingdom when he comes again. But we do get these glimpses, even now. God chooses to dwell not with the high and mighty, but with the lowly, the unexpected, those who are considered nothing by this world. Through the birth of Jesus, God says to all people, you count. You are valued. You are loved. You are mine. The child who will someday be known as the Good Shepherd knows us by name. He knows more than our data. He knows our fears, our needs, our hopes, and our dreams. He doesn't come to fix us. He comes to walk with us on our human journey. This child born of Mary will come to know our human grief, our human pain, and even our human death. And he will be revealed as God's Son when he is raised from the dead, and he promises to all of us life in his name. So make this Christmas count. Share the love that bursts forth from your heart. Remember the poor and lonely, those who are voiceless and who are powerless. Forgive as God has forgiven you. Have hope and courage amid the dark and dangerous times in your life. Give freely. Live with fear-breaking joy. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen.